all holidays in the winter were celebrated, Washington's birthday and Lincoln's birthday. We'd prepare little skits or else we'd march to the town hall or Hacker Hall, and they'd have a program there, and we'd sing. And there's always somebody there to make a speech about whichever day it was, Washington's birthday or whichever, and they'd have recitations and so on.
You made a regular program.
We always did.
What about Patriots Day?
Children would march.
Oh yes, remember we had to have a new dress.
Oh yes.
That was a big day for us.
Mm-hmm.
And probably a new pair of shoes. By that time our winter shoes were getting pretty well.
We had about one pair in the fall, another one in the spring.
Yes. So maybe we could have our new pair of shoes go with our new dress that time.
Yes. Their mother always made their clothes.
Yeah, they're nice too.
At Memorial Day, they would still have services in the town hall too, even if we marched the cemetery and had a service down there, they would come back and have services in the town hall.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, do you remember in 1916, Fort Fairfield celebrated its 100th anniversary, and did they have a celebration for that?
Oh, we remember very well. We were in it. Of course, being young, I think I was a junior in high school at that time, and Pearl was sophomore.
Yeah, sophomore.
And we went practically every day. Rainy days, we'd rehearse in the schoolhouse. I know I was a Falls.
Yeah, I was a Valley.
Yeah.
Now, would you like to tell how you dressed? And
we all made our own costumes out of cheesecloth, and mine was made. We dyed different shades of green, and we bought real thin-soled canvas shoes or slippers. I know they tied the string.
I think it's something, or they ordered specially for that.
I think so. And we dyed our shoes and our stockings, and my skirt was all dyed that same color, a deep green. And the blouse part was made just a slip over the elastic around the neck. But it was fringed. The sleeves were fringed, and the bottom of the blouse was fringed, and the bottom of the skirt was fringed. But the blouse was a lighter green. And we carried, a piece of cheesecloth, probably about 25, must have been over a yard long. And that we waved somehow or other when we were dancing up from the river. We were the Falls. And the different groups. There were trees and there were valleys. Pearl was a valley. And you tell about your dress.
Well, mine was a green. I think all the same shade of green. And of course, we had to dye our stockings and our little shoes for the same. And where we were valleys, we had flowers, had a flower wand, I suppose you'd call it, sort of a branch with all different colored flowers attached to it, which we waved back and forth to represent the valley and the flowers.
Mm-hmm. And the trees were a tall limit, and they stood up. They didn't move around too much. Mm-hmm. They stood up in the center of the field, and they waved back and forth almost.
They were
like
still
green
down.
And they were all green, too. And it took place along the Roostook River up just before you got to Otis Ray.
It took place at Kinney Flats.
And it was just a perfect setting for it. It was really beautiful. I remember the Indians came up the river in the canoe, and they had all enacted all the different parts of the history of the town. The first settlers came, and they had the old-fashioned wagons.
Now, who was responsible for this pageant?
Well, Eva Skates directed it.
Mm-hmm. I think it probably was written by her.
I think it was. Yeah, I think it was written by her. And our town had a band then, right? Quite a nice band, we thought. And that pageant Let me see, I think it was 3 days, wasn't it? August 8th, 9th, and 10th, 1916.
They put it on 3 different times. You went through the whole
pageant. We went every day to practice till we walked over the hill. It was quite a little distance.
There were a lot of people involved.
Oh, practically all the town, practically all the scholars in town were in it.
Even the tiny ones.
Even little tiny ones. And they all had their parts, and everything went off so beautifully. And Mr. Thomas, he was a from Sweden, and he was the original, he settled, no, Sweden, in Maine, and he was there riding his white horse. I still remember him with his long white whiskers. And we did have a parade up and down the street.
Each day, did you have a parade?
I don't think
once?
So. I
just
think just once.
Once.
Mm-hmm. If I remember correctly, mm-hmm. I think there was just one
once,
parade.
Yeah.
And he was a very striking figure. And I'd like to remember the names of all the men in it that took the major parts in there, but I just can't seem to.
Well, Fort Fairfield was quite a community in those days. I think there were probably quite a few stores.
Well, it was well built up. There was a lot of stores, and they were good stores too. When we were at the corner of the bridge, it was a Dorn block, and Gabriel had the little corner store, and then next door was a grocery. But Gabriel carried clothing, and what we were interested in was a little penny candy stuff. And he sold long sticks of striped candy with rings on and things. Put them in striped paper bags, and we, some of our earliest memories of him, Dad bringing home little striped bags of candy. Mm-hmm. We'd stop off there when going to school or from school, and we'd run ahead and get us some candy. And then next to that was the John Osborne House, my land. That was a beautiful home. It's time.
That's where Forrest Fear lives now.
Yes, he has apartments there now. And then there was a Libby house, A.P. Libby, but that was kept, well kept, and had an iron fence around it and trees. It was a real pretty place. And he was one of the well-to-do people of the town. He liked horses, and I think he had the first car that came to town. It looked like
too.
A little carriage-covered wagon, I can still remember. with a stick to drive, there's no wheel.
But later on, that was the hospital. Quite a while after that.
Dr. Small, Dr. Chandler had the hospital there. Now that would be in, well, around the 20s, the 1920s, somewhere along there.
Early 20s, I believe.
Yeah. And then Dr. Wiley, old Dr. Wiley, years ago, he was the first doctor that I remember them talking about. Lived up overhead, the next old, the laundromat, we call it here now. And we did have another doctor, old Dr. Sawyer. And he really was a wonderful doctor, good internist and so on. Later on, he had a son that was an eye, nose, and throat specialist.
Lomas
Shire. And we had the Collins house. A Purses had a market about where Aussies is now. They had a nice market.
Clyde Purse.
Yeah. And Ruby Rich was bookkeeper, and later on, Luther worked in there. And the Collins house, later on the Collins house, they had a candy kitchen, which everybody seemed to enjoy. You could go in there and eat your lunch or buy candy or whatever you wanted to. And the other end of that store, on the east end, there was the Acorns, Len Acorns. Now he'd be an uncle, please. And Hopkins Brothers had a grocery store.
And Gene Hawks, remember he had a little store,
yes.
Sit back in, but he carried everything in that little store.
Mrs. Paul, an old lady, had a store too. We used to go in and buy the little china dolls for a penny. They were jointed. They were real nice.
They were real cute.
I think they called hers a stationery shop.
Yes, it was, I can't remember too much in there except stationeries and little toys and so on. We liked her china dolls. And then, well, Herbert Goodrow had a grocery store next, and we always had a special place in our heart for him because each Christmas he had a bag of candy for every child in town, anybody wanted to go. Of course, my father would take us in, sometimes take the big sled, we'd pick up all the children on the road, and then we came out with a great big bag of candy. There were long lines of children waiting, but they all got their candy for Christmas. We had our drugstore next, and then the Weber store.
The drugstore, let's go back to that. It used to have the hospital up over years ago. The first hospital in town.
Dr. Chamberlain lived there until he built his home on Fort Hill. And then they turned it into a hospital. And for several years
they
had
that. That was 1918, I believe, 17 or 18.
They discontinued it in July that year, and then moved up in the Hall House, which was owned at that time by Robert Atkinson.
Do you think that was the first hospital in Fort Fairfield was up over that drugstore?
No, I think,
yes, that was the first hospital. Dr. Chamberlain used to live up there until he built his house. And then I think that closed in the summer. And then they went up to the Hall House, which was a Robert Atkinson house.
Owned by him.
Owned by Robert Atkinson. And I remember my mother had been in the hospital up over the lakefront, and 2 weeks later she went back in the hospital and went up to the new one.
It, and this was in
1918?
In 1918, mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, next was L.K. Carey's hardware store, and that's where Lynch is now. Same old store, and he lived up overhead, L.K. Carey did. And we had the Milner store in the next block, which was the Skates block. Laura Perry ran the Milner store in Maryland. She made the most beautiful hats, and she could take anything you had left over from any other hat and fix up a new hat for you in no time. And
do you remember any special hats you had that you liked real well?
Oh, I can remember the Prescott Fair every year. One special hat I had for that fair was a black satin, and had a big red rose on the front. I thought it was beautiful.
It was.
But my mother had such pretty hats, but Maura Perry really had a knack of making hats, and she had a lot with velvet, different color velvets, and the ostrich plumes, I remember, as being so pretty.
And she used to work in that, now it looks like a plastic lace, I don't know what it was then, straw, I imagine. Mm-hmm. That made the hats so much prettier.
Mm-hmm.
And she did use lace around the rims quite a bit.
Yes, a lot.
Yeah.
Very nice.
And then Skates' drugstore, you would buy almost anything there, from a sheet of music to your prescriptions, you know. That was good. We had Lowry's clothing store was next, where the old liquor store.
Duff Lowry.
Mm-hmm. And then Bartlett's dry goods store. They had everything you could want in there. They really well stocked.
We really had two nice stores. Mm-hmm. We had Weber's, and then we had Bartlett's, mm-hmm. where you could buy most everything.
We were real partial to there because Mrs. Bartlett was a great friend of my mother's, and Matt Putnam at work there. And they were real good to us, you know. We could get most anything we wanted. And I especially remembered some dresses she made for us. They were purple, with purple satin. You remember that?
Yes.
And I thought they were the most beautiful.
Well,
dresses.
They were. They were outstanding.
And
my
she covered
was
the
a
buttons.
Beautiful dressmaker.
And she had a lot of covered buttons on them. They were really nice. The Goodrow block was next, and that was run by Lawrence's father, when I was young. We used to like to go in there because they had one of those Edison dogs up there, you know, an old-fashioned phonograph, a horn, and sitting up on the railing or where we used to like to go in and look at it. But across from there was a town hall, and east of that was the building where Bernstein had his little store in front, and the Review was in back. H.O. Perry had the store east of that one. But then, going back towards the west again, was the town hall, where we had practically all our social functions and all, junior exhibitions, graduations, and plays. And we did have a lot of plays in town years ago. I don't know how they...
They'd be traveling groups that
yes.
would put on plays.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They come in
there
and show.
Some nice ones.
Mm-hmm. Really did have nice ones. All town meetings were held there, too. And that was a long affair, run into 2 days as a rule. And we'd take our dinner and go stay all day. And along the store, pretty much the next building was there.
Remember Hacker Shoe Store was underneath?
Oh, yes.
The hall.
Mm-hmm.
And there was another store.
Yeah, Boyd's had a grocery store after a while.
And Hagerman's was along there.
Yes, they had a grocery store. A hardware store.
Hardware store. Harry Hagman, wasn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Mm-hmm. Post office on that side of the street and the First National Bank. And that took us to the road that ran up over the Fort Hill. Well, now we had the big watering trough that was west of that road that went up over the Fort Hill. And I think that what the building was in there. Martin's had a store there where they, you know, had cooked goods, groceries, and they had a restaurant, I suppose. Mm-hmm. So people went in there to eat. Jack Watt had a harness shop there. Mm-hmm. And where the Plymouth is now, Dr. Kellogg had a home. I remember White House had a stable. And of course the Osborne building that was torn down last year, a couple of years ago, that stood there, and Osborne's lived in it at that time. And he took the rents up overhead. We had a sawmill, and blacksmith shop on that side of the street besides two or three residences.
Was there an undertaker somewhere in town?
Oh yes, we had Mr. Haycock. Was an undertaker. His wife, I think she was either a Small or a Johnson, I don't know which now. They were related to the Johnsons anyway, that run the furniture store. And he, as I remember, he had his shop upstairs. Wasn't it upstairs? I think it was. Well, it was in the building. Across from the CP station, perhaps that was
it. Where the First National is now.
Yeah, but it was closer to the bank.
Yeah,
I think
very close.
Closer to the bank.
Probably about
but
where the parking.
Well, it's where Willets had them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They remodeled that place.
Yeah, that was the old original building, wasn't it?
Yes,
Willets
I think it was
and,
remodeled.
Uncle John had a.
He had a
repair shop there one time.
Mm-hmm.
Cars lived overhead
there.
Yes.
He lived up overhead.
At one time.
Yeah. Yeah. And the rest of the buildings along there practically belonged to Dorsey's, those three or four buildings, and they had a great big stable. And he dealt in horses. And he would put up horses for anybody. Of course, when you went to town in those days, if it's cold weather, you couldn't leave your horse standing out around. You had to put him up in a stable somewhere. Mm-hmm. If you're going to be there very long. And they also had hitching posts all along the sidewalks. And there was always this big iron ring in the hitching post. Sometimes mm-hmm. there'd be a band of iron around a telephone pole and the big ring there to tie your horse.
What were the sidewalks like?
Well, we didn't have too good sidewalks those days. Near as I can remember, there were boards some places and some places just plain dirt. A lot of boards.
But they did run the whole length of the town?
No, not necessarily. I don't think up over CP Hill was just dirt. And don't you think?
Well, it was for years just a dirt path.
Places where it was apt to be muddy or so on, they had boards or planks. And the telephone poles were put there, well, they were there as long as I can remember, but the lights weren't run out on our road until about in the 20s. There was no lights in the country.
What about the first movies?
The first movies, we had the KC Hall, and it was, they had movies in there. They called it the Savoy. And we went, there were steps that went up on each side of the porch. And I think we went upstairs in there. And they had folding seats, and it cost us 10 cents to go in, see the silent movies. They always had somebody playing the piano, furnished music. Movie was going. And then later on they had in the Park Theater.
That was back.
Wasn't the next one?
Back of Skates Drugstore.
Yes, you went in between Skates,
yes,
and Laura Parrish, right. The shop, you went in there.
Yeah. That's where I saw my first talking picture.
Yes.
It was there.
That was quite a thing, seeing the talking movies. And they went from, for a while we had two movies in town. Mm-hmm. The Park, that was the Park.
And then the Savoy.
Because Parks owned that building at that time. And then Libby's Rink.
Yes, later on they had
went up to Libby's Rink and they built that. And they used to hold dances up there. It was quite a large place. They had three floors.
And roller skating. That was quite everything practically the same was all there.
Yes. And the movies were much nicer, bigger screen, and better seats. Mm-hmm. And I remember time after I was married, we walked in to the movies.
To go to the movies.
Oh, yes. In the winter times, the roads were bad, and it was a lot nicer to walk than it was to get up the horse and take it up there. Mm-hmm. So if I remember right, next to Libby's stable, Callahan's had a blacksmith shop.
You don't mean Libby's stable. You mean
Dorsey's stable, yes. Ed Dorsey's stable. Mm-hmm. That there was a blacksmith shop.
Yes.
And
it wouldn't be Jimmy Paul who had that, would it?
No, he had his up near where the lumber yard was.
Yes,
up in that
section. And then, remember McKee's Hotel?
Oh, yes.
That used to be the only hotel, I guess. I know
that and the Windsor.
Yes, the Windsor.
We did have
the
Windsor.
We did. And but a lot of travel men came there. I can remember.
And we had the Collins House.
Yes. But this seemed to be, quite a place for the men to
stay.
They played cards. He liked to play cards. I can remember his daughter had light curly hair, and we thought she was so pretty.
She was just like a doll. She went to school, of course. She was quite attractive.
Yeah. I think her father had a hotel.
Mm-hmm. And he was such a large man.
Yes, he was huge. And I remember on the other side of the street was Sawyer George's store. And I remember I used to go in and buy, quite a few things from him. And he always gave a special price to you. It always made you feel as though you was getting a special price. Mm-hmm. And then next to him was the
Moseyov
store, where he sold, bought everything.
Well, he had a clothing store, men's clothing. His brother Francis had a little grocery store right next to him.
Yeah.
And he had lots and lots of penny candy. So we would hustle down there after school in order to get penny candy.
But we didn't wait till after school. I can remember rushing down at noon. We hadn't much time. And even recess, when we really felt we needed a little bit of candy.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember the licorice, the long sticks of licorice, and the sticks of candy with a ring on it.
Straight candy, straight.
No, you really could buy something for a penny.
If we had any extra time, we raced down to the Canadian Pacific Railroad Station and the train came in.
That was a treat thing
for us to see. And we could stand right out there. They never drove us away. It's only the big kids, and then they told us to get. But I guess the teachers told us sort of not to get out anymore.
I think she probably
off
did.
Limits.
This was during your school recess.
Oh, yeah. Recess or at noon.
The train usually came in at noon.
Yeah.
But we had to hurry, so we were missing.